Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives Radio Show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I'm Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
Hey, Bill McKenna. And we are the team that hosts the New Life Perspectives Radio Show. We've been having so much fun with that. And we're also the duo that created the Cogno Movement System. Today's episode is called You're Unhappy Because Your Nervous System is a Hoarder. Mic drop, Bill McKenna. What do you think?
Oh, my God. You know, it's just so funny when you came up with this a while ago and told me, I was like, God, it's like hits the nail on the head. You know, it is so very true. And it's like all our lives, this has been happening, you know, and you don't want it. You don't want it, but you think you need it, right?
Right.
Because you just think, I need this.
So let's back up just a second. I know you guys kind of like this behind the scenes thing. So how this works is Bill and I text each other at all hours of the day and night. And we have this group chat with our business manager, Leah. And so when we think of this stuff, we just like shoot it out there. And I don't know what ungodly hour I sent it out, but it occurred to me, your nervous system is a hoarder, right? And so then the conversation ensues usually the next day. So, I was thinking what made me think of this is how I think there was a TV show about hoarders that crossed by probably my YouTube feed, really. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is really what the nervous system does. It hoards things. And what is a hoarder? It's not a collector, because a collector has things in nice rows and neat rows, and they buy and sell things and trade them. And, you know, they appreciate their collection. A hoarder has a whole lot of random stuff, and they're not letting go of anything. They literally need all of it. And the thing that made me think about the nervous system is hoarders will hoard trash. Trash and dirty things and things that are unhealthy and harmful. And a long time ago, I watched a few of those hoarder shows, and it is mind-boggling the things people are so desperately attached to, even though they're terrible and they will not let them go. And people fight with them and try to save their lives, and they're not having it. They're keeping this stuff. You know, I know someone who kept the plastic things that food comes in, like, you know, if you buy deli ham or whatever, maybe it'll come in a plastic with a lid. They save those. And what's funny is the granddaughter, when the person died who had these things, she tried to pass them on to people as though they were valuable. A Bill, we do the same damn thing. Our family were worriers. So we're going to pass that on to every other generation. You know, our family, we have generational trauma. So here's that gift to you. I'm going to gift you this trash. And the nervous system goes for it.
It really does. And it becomes, and it is like, here's the thing about it. I'm going to pass this on because it's going to keep you safe, right? If you've got all this stuff, right, it's going to keep you safe in some way, shape, or form. And I find it so interesting that you say it's generational. Because it even extends beyond that to certain cultures. There are cultures out there that have been traumatized by genocide, And consequently, you know, the entire culture is on high alert for any possible threat. You know, it's like, ho, 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 you know, and this is a global phenomenon, you know, everywhere from over in the, you know, that Southeast Asia and Vietnam and Cambodia, to Africa, to obviously the Holocaust. It is a phenomenon that had gone on basically globally for millennia. You know, they've been doing this.
Those are like the big ones that you think, you know, you think, okay, that's reasonable. We're going to take that and we're going to teach everybody about it and we're going to install it. And the excuse is, if you know what happened in the past, you can prevent it. I watched a thing about the Holocaust in Israel, and it was an Israeli man who was showing how they teach this. And it was very fascinating, because it's actually through trauma that they teach this Holocaust thing. And there's kids who are like happy-go-lucky and living their life, like living a 21st century life. And then they're taken and forced to look at the images and hear the stories, you know, from, you know, a very specific point of view, let's say. And they come out of that in their mid-teens so angry, you know, so angry about what happened in their past. Now their life is tethered to this moment in time, and horrific as it is, but way back in the 40s, you know.
And one could argue, right, hey, if you don't know, you're going to get the same thing. So you got to be alert. Well, as it turns out, in the quantum field, right, we end up collapsing reality into a particular reality that we look for to see. So it's wonderful on one hand, and it can be extraordinarily painful on the other hand, if you're not aware of what we're doing.
Well, here's what my thought about that is. When I was watching this, I thought, gosh, you know, from our work, I can see how unresourceful that is, because once it gets stuck in the nervous system hoards it. We'll talk about in the next segment why the nervous system and how it does this. But, you know, once the nervous system takes it on, and it takes it on as its current battle, I'm going to protect you from this thing currently, as though it's today, it's attacking you now. And the nervous system will use anger and hatred and fear and sadness. And there becomes this general underlying malaise, kind of a, you know, if you can imagine a nice clear pond, and then 12 inches down, there's this murk. That's how a lot of us feel, you know, and we will take that and project it into the future. This is a thing people don't know. These things that the nervous system hoards, it projects it into our own future. And you're far more likely to have it happen again by digging into it and knowing about it and resenting it than if you never knew. If you never knew it, you'd never run into it again, because you just, there would be no warning systems. There would be no focus on it. What it made me think about is this one last thing, Bill, is in the Jewish traditions, there's this rich history of study. I love the movie Yentl, because I love watching them debate and argue about the Torah and the Talmud. Like, it's everything to them to talk about these fine points and this and that. There's this rich history, which is who they are. But then inserting this terrible feeling into these young children kind of derails that richness of who they are. And so it's only my opinion that maybe we focus more on the positive things and don't install the negative things as such an importance. But if it has been installed in you, there's a way out. What we know is that As each layer of this murky malaise, this underlying thing gets cleared out by recognizing the nervous system's desire to hoard trauma and deleting them one by one, that murkiness starts to clear, and that feeling, that underlying feeling of yuck and malaise, starts to clear and lift. And yeah, people just start to feel better, right?
Right. You know, there's a really a very, very practical reason that you're going to want to basically have your system freed up from this type of hoarder type thing. And one of those hoarders type things is like a traumatized during your childhood. So it's a scientific fact, right? We know children that have been traumatized are also more likely to have trauma in adulthood. People, even down to very specific types of trauma, right? Specific types of trauma, for example, molestation during childhood, will produce some sort of situation in adulthood that is basically some other violation there. So these type of things, in order to basically start to live a life of being able to choose versus basically a default, like you said, you know, you watch those shows on hoarders, they sound like they're making a choice to, you know what, I really need those plastic containers. You know, I'm sure there's probably going to be a picnic or something sometime. I'm going to need some plastic containers for that are, you know, those type. And the truth is that it looks like a choice, but it's not. The person is like, they've got a feeling. And when challenged, it becomes overwhelming for them. It's not a choice. They're not making a choice. It is an intense emotional reaction, which to the point of splitting them, a mother from daughter, a father from son, because of a plastic container. It's not. It is a feeling. And imagine that person could finally be free, you know, and living in a healthy environment. But you know what? Hey, everybody, that's me. That's you. That's us. We're doing it, but it's just a little different. It's a little different, right? I'm going to hold on to my bad feeling about Johnny, about Sally, about whatever, you know. Maybe you had, you know, you were snubbed at an early age in high school, or, you know, by the cool kids. You know, or maybe it was your mom, which turned into now girlfriends, now turns into wife, now turns into daughter. All of these things, right? They're automatic reactions. So what am I hoarding? You got to ask yourself, right? What am I hoarding?
Most people have no idea, right? They don't.
How do you know? Well, it's your life.
Yeah.
It's your life. It seems like random events, right? I don't know how that happened. You know, it was a series of unfortunate calamities. You know, the stock market, and then the stock market, and then the interest rates, and the da-da-da, and then we lose the house, and the car, and then da-la-la. Whoa, hey, hold on a second. Is that the first time that happened? What, did you have a situation with your parents that had a like situation? Does that smell? You smell anything there?
Hey, you know what the plastic containers were about, Bill?
What was it?
Back to a person I knew very, very well. She was from the Depression era.
Mm.
She saved not only plastic containers, but a whole lot of like Ziploc bags.
Mm-hmm.
Those things didn't exist in the Depression era. For her, those had great value. And she didn't, on the surface, look like a hoarder because her house was very neat. She was, by the time I knew her, she was a little old lady. It was in, you know, clearing out like storage rooms and that we found all of these kind of storage type things that she would hoard and save over many, many years in value because there was a moment in time when they had nothing and they didn't know how they were going to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
So her automated response was, let's save, let's conserve what we can, because you never know when there's not going to be enough. And it had dramatic rumblings throughout her family. So let's take our first break, and I'll talk about that in the next break, what that rumbling was and how it played out, because maybe somebody will recognize themselves in this. You don't think hoarding plastic containers can have an effect on your nervous system? Well, it does, and it can spread through your whole family in some really ugly ways. So let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network. UK Health, take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
We're back. We're talking about the fact that your nervous system is a hoarder, and it may be the thing that's keeping you unhappy. It may be responsible for not only a general malaise or funk throughout your life, but it may be responsible for these things that keep happening again and again. So I said I would share the rest of this story. So these grandparents, they were came through the Depression, and they came to the small town. And the grandpa became the mayor. He was a plumber. They owned a big house on the main street. They did okay, but there was always this teaching, this underneath: we may not have enough. We may not have enough. So it created this weird striving for more than enough in the rest of the family. And, you know, the children were products of World War II, the 40s. And so they, you know, they came up with that. And the oldest son, you know, he did well for himself, but the girls were raised in this, girls should do a certain thing, and we need to be moms, and we need to do whatever. But they all were striving for something really big and suffering with not enough at the same place. It created this massive tension throughout the family and this need to have higher education, but maybe we can't afford it. This need to have these high-level jobs, but maybe we can't get there because we're women or we have children or the other reasons, right? So then the grandchildren came. And the grandchildren were products of this massive tension of we need to be someone big and we're probably not going to get there. So it manifested itself in bipolar depression. It manifested in one of the girls doing exactly what you said, the striving to be a cool kid, and never getting there. And then in her children, she was almost nearly abusive to them because they weren't the cool kids either. Maybe they were overweight. Maybe they had the wrong hair color. They just weren't cool. They were just average kids. And in her case, she almost hated them for not reaching this bar. And it was an invisible bar, an unspoken bar. From the outside in, you could see it so well. But that thing, the nervous system's hoarded. We need to have way more, but we don't have enough. And it just spun through the generations. Isn't that fascinating?
It really is. It's just absolutely fascinating. And, you know, I just think that we're in a time and age that we now understand this. We now understand it's just really now coming to light that the body, the neurology, is actually taking this on. You know, even though it's all coming to light, right here in the United States of America, if you're anyone's looking at the news and that sort of thing, I mean, the hoarding has gone on to incredible levels. You know, people are taking positions and welcoming in these type of hurt positions, being hurt and taking great value and teaching each other, you've been hurt and you need to be aware you've been hurt and be hurt and lash out.
Yeah, huge values on what's called trauma response, trauma-informed, trauma response. Everything is about that right now. We have a really
trigger warnings. A trigger warning. You know, I've never in my life a trigger warning. What? When did that?
I have a close friend. She's like a niece to me. She's 20. And her constant conversation is about like trauma response and trauma informed. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're a kid. Like, why are we having this conversation? But it's really prevalent throughout. So, Bill, let's talk about why does the nervous system hoard traumas or perceived traumas? And why doesn't it hoard the good stuff?
That is such a good question, right? You know, I have to say, first of all, let's start off with, I do know a few people. I know some people that are actually positive hoarders, that they collect the most amazing, beautiful experiences. They talk about them. They relive them in their mind. They kind of are so fast and easy to giggle and laugh. They are so quick to make light of whatever it is and to find the good. So this exists. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it is a rarity.
Yeah. And you know what that looks like? That's interesting, Bill. Let's not get off track because I still want to talk about why the nervous system hoards. But what that looks like is somebody who's at dinner and they're like, oh, look how pretty these green beans are. You know, have you seen the green beans? They're just so green. And let me taste it. It's so crisp, right? They're that person that is just, you know, effusive about how beautiful their meal is and how nice the waiter is and how wonderful things tasted. The rest of us are like, meh, see the price on this thing? Like, I don't know. My stuff is touching. My green beans and my potatoes are touching. And they didn't give me my silverware. My silverware has a spot on it. And, you know, and the converse of that is you go to dinner with that person who their glass is always dirty. Their food always comes out bad, right? What's the difference? The difference is the attention. The focus is to, wow, I'm having a wonderful time here versus, wow, I'm trying to see what might be trying to attack and kill me, right? That's the difference. So what is the difference? Why does the nervous system hoard the negative. There's a very specific reason, and it's actually sort of kind of good for us. What is it?
It is trying to keep you alive and safe. You know, there's a path of energy, and this energy comes up your spine. It goes through the back base of your spine, which is like a fear gateway. You know, is this a threat? Am I safe? Now, this safe could be a threat to my physical personal safety, my financial status, my being, you know, like how am I going to be seen, right? My image. It could be anything at all. And that if it's seen as I'm safe and secure, the information can come up and go off into the higher faculties, and you use more of your brain. People who are without fear, they have processed their traumas, and they have the ability to basically have this gateway open where, yes, I see reality. I see the truth. I'm, you know what? Yes, there is a smudge on this, you know, but, you know, it's no big deal. It's okay. You know, they can see the green beans. They can see the color. You're muted.
But there's a reason, and it's because of a certain setup in our body. The limbic system, which houses the amygdala, it's the thing that tries to keep us safe and alive, and it's one of the first thing that forms in the womb, and it's the thing that needs to tell you, okay, touch this, don't touch that, that's poisonous, don't do that, don't walk in front of a car, you know, run if there's a lion, right? It needs to do that, and it just puts a higher value on the good stuff. The good stuff, if you happen to see a butterfly, if your green beans are pretty, you know, if your hair looks great today, that is not of high value to the amygdala, the limbic system, because it's just stuff that's going to be fine. It doesn't hurt you. It's not concerned with that. It's concerned with the things that might kill you. And here's the big thing, you guys. If you took one thing away from today, your body thinks the weirdest things are going to kill you. And it's based on the feeling that you get. So in the womb, if your mom drops a pan on her big toe and screams bloody murder, if the fetus is developed enough to be able to actually experience the sound, which they can, it's vibration, it might connect in the amygdala fear because the mother screamed, another secondary loud noise, and then her body floods with adrenaline, and the little amygdala learns, ooh, I think loud noises might murder me, right?
Right.
So sometime later in life, you know, every loud noise, like maybe it's at birth, there's a lot of noises. Maybe the loud noise hits the amygdala and the amygdala says, oh, whoa, here I am, and I'm already almost murdered by a loud noise. Not true, but the body wants to keep you safe and alive. So then maybe you're two and there's a car crash and a really loud noise and a honk, right? Oh,
right.
Proof. So throughout that person's life, the nervous system will start to look for that danger. They will be inordinately plagued with incidents with loud noise. Why? Because their perspective is to look for it. Where you and I, where it's not a problem, we may hear a loud noise and it doesn't matter to us. You know, maybe it startles you, but your nervous system isn't certain it's going to kill you. So each of us has our own little slant on what that amygdala nervous system is doing to pull the fire alarms, right?
Right.
So I tell a story in our first book of Suffering is Optional about a girl whose life was ruined over a popsicle. I won't tell it again, but it's a true story. You know, in her case, it was about, I'm not loved. Somebody else got a popsicle. I didn't, I'm not loved. And her body looked for, I'm not loved, again and again and again. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you're out there and you kind of have your own version of a funk going on, and you're like, that's me. You know, every relationship I'm in, the guy cheats on me. Or my son-in-law is darling, but the poor thing ends up with a car that has every dent ever in it. Every car he gets dented up, and it's never really his fault, but he is a dent attractor, right? We haven't cleared it out of his system yet, but this is the thing, like the body will start to hoard things that it's worried about and seek them out. And then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But what you were saying earlier, Bill, is as we can notice those and delete them, we can start to be the person who notices the green beans. You know, that weirdo at a beautiful lunch who notices every wonderful thing and smiles and has light in their eyes and is actually joyful. It's possible, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's just talking about it, right, is really cool, because mm-hmm. the very first part of it is to become aware. Oh, wow. And these things are simply these automatic reactions. And the automatic reactions that we're concerned with are the ones that don't feel good. Shame, guilt, grief, humiliation, anger, fear, resentment, hatred, worry, anxiety. All of those things that you're like, that don't feel good. Things are not good. You know, well, I don't, you know, doubt, right? All of those things have to do with an automatic reaction. So imagine for a second that, you know, those were actually like in your house as those plastic bins, and those plastic bins are just gone. And the plastic bags and all the other trash, right? How is your environment? It is simply peaceful and clean and clear. And with that, you end up being able, the availability, the green beans just appear green and crisp. You didn't try. You're not, you know what? I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to be real spiritual and fine. Oh, find the good, right? No, it is, because you're abstinent, and it is possible. And that's, I guess, the point that we want to get across is that it's possible. You could do it. There is a way to use the nervous system to heal the nervous system. Get the hoarder out, if you will. We got to take a break. UK Health Radio, take it away. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back and we're talking about the reason that you might be unhappy in your life. You might have this general funk or malaise is that your nervous system is hoarding things that it considers trauma. So things that everybody might consider trauma, you know, all the big things, we all know them, and a whole litany of other little tiny things that are actually maybe not a trauma, like the fact that you didn't get a popsicle when you were four. But the body starts to record them as traumas and then react automatically. Well, if you listen to Bill and I at all, you'll know that the automatic reaction starts with a feeling or a sensation, a reaction in the body is another way to say it. So everybody who's out there, think about your thing. You know, you say it all the time. You probably don't even realize, you know, my problem is, you know, my problem is that I can't keep a relationship. You know what my problem is? That I never have enough money. You know, my problem is my body's sick all the time.
I need another way to look at it is, you know what? I need help and fill in the blank. I want. That's another way to look at it, which could open this up to you. What is the thing you wake up in the morning? I need. I want. I wish.
I wish. Yeah. If only my life would be perfect if I had fill in the blank. We all have one of those, right? The interesting thing is that if you don't clear that out of your nervous system and you do get the thing, because you can manifest it by force, it happens. You focus on it long enough, but you get it and it is not the shiny thing you hoped it was going to be. It's a little dirty, tinged around the edge, and likely there's a black widow stored up inside it, right? It is not what you wanted. So what's interesting is that that's number one. And I think it's kind of a consciousness level, Bill McKenna. You all of a sudden become aware, oh my gosh, I do say, you know what my problem is? You know, my biggest problem is you catch yourself. You catch yourself saying it. And then the next thing you do is you match it to what is my body feeling right now? And what you will discover, and this discovery changes everything, you will discover that there's some part of your body that's active. Maybe it's your throat. I've shared, for me, it was like being clotheslined, throat and upper gut. You know, this kind of like feeling hit in the throat or upper gut. For some people, it's like nausea. For some people, it's like a headache. Other people, their ears burn or their fingers go numb. But if you will simply hear yourself saying it, and now you kind of won't be able to not hear yourself because you've heard us bring it up. My problem is, you know what my biggest problem is, or you know what I really need, or my life would be perfect. Stop and notice, what is my body doing right now? And that singular sensation is the generation. It is the big billboard sign of the thing your nervous system is hoarding.
That's exactly it. That nailed it right there. Yeah. And here's the thing. Is when the sensation happens, you're going to think a thought equal to it. And that is the point at which you have a choice.
Yeah.
You, this point in time, and for most of us, we blow right by the choice point. This choice point, once you realize there is a choice point, then you can start to do some of the techniques to blow it away. And if you blow it away completely, what happens is, that thing just simply isn't part of your life anymore. There is no more that sensation. There is no more going down the road, the highway to hell, shall we say? Right now, for the masses of humanity, it's just, there is no choice. This is how I feel, and it's the highway to hell, and that's about it. That's about how it goes.
You know, the highway to hell. That's interesting, Bill. There's something that Leah said to me yesterday that really, really struck me. And my response was in the vein of what we've kind of been talking about, getting real clear about this thing. So I'll tell you my response first. My response first was, you know what Cogno movement does? It literally cuts through all the BS. I said the real words, Bill McKenna. It gets rid of all of it and targets the actual problem, the nervous system holding on to a mistake or something that's true that it just keeps playing out over and over again, right?
Right.
Now, what Leah said to me was that there's this thing on TikTok, this big thing in the, you know, kind of quasi self-help spiritual community, and it's about shadow work. Now, we know about shadow work. That's been going on for a long time. But the new version is you're probably going to have to go through hell when you start to look at your shadow. You're going to go into crisis. You're going to suffer. Your life's probably going to explode. And it might take you lifetimes to deal with your shadow. And immediately, my reaction was, no, you don't. No, you don't. What you need to know is the shadow is nothing more than the nervous system having recorded something it believes is dangerous to you. Now, it may or may not be accurate. A lion chasing you through the street might be a reason to have the nervous system engage. You know, a kitty cat chasing you down the street is not. If you have a nervous system that says they're both the same, you got a little issue, right? Once that's targeted through recognizing, oh, hey, here I am. I feel this way again. Cogno movement provides a system to simply reach in and pluck it out. There is no suffering. In fact, it's kind of fun.
Exactly.
And it's a technology. We accurately and actively know how to just make an adjustment like a mechanic. You get the IKEA wrench and the instructions, which is a problem for some of us, but you get the IKEA wrench and you make change. You don't have to suffer.
Exactly. You know, Liz, I made my own little graph here.
Oh, graph. Yes,
I made a little graph for everybody. So over here is what we call your trigger. Now you could just simply have a thought. Like that's your trigger, like, oh, I need, I want, I don't have enough, whatever be the case. And you get your sensations. You get sensations. And here you have your trigger, like your choice point. You've got a choice. You can go to the good life here, and it is your parasympathetic system, is that rest and digest, or you let it go. And it's the highway to hell, the sympathetic system. This is your neurology. So this is your timeline. Now all of us have a choice. Once we understand it, and then we have the tools, right?
Yeah, but before that, you really don't. You're on autopilot. And I think that's the biggest thing why your nervous system is a hoarder. You know, is that it hoards these things and it just puts them on autopilot. You don't have to think about it. It's here. Let me do that for you. But then it decides how your life goes. It really does. That last marriage didn't work out. That was your nervous system that did that. Your logical mind got to have very little to do with it. You know, that last job that you got fired from and the three before that, that's your nervous system running the show. What I think Bill and I want everyone to know is you do have that choice point. So Bill's diagram, for everyone who's listening, looked like a Y on its side. You know, the trigger point with a direct line to a choice. Once you know about it, once you've heard what we're saying and you know there is a point in time when your nervous system can take over or you can make a different choice and actually let yourself, your higher being, your logical mind take over. And that happens by moving, as Bill said, into the parasympathetic. What does that mean for everybody else? It means a signal nervous system to calm the F down. Literally a signal that says, no, that's no longer a problem. And, you know, this is the most interesting thing about Bill and I know. It could be that massive, legitimate problem in your life, that trauma. Even that, you can tell the nervous system, no, we're not in that anymore. That's not happening right now. That is not a lion chasing us. That's a story from our past. And we're choosing to move on into something else. You can literally take that backpack full of rocks off, that trauma, leave it on the ground, and move forward free. So if you haven't been around with us for a while, what we do is called Cogno Movement. And right now we have just reinvented what used to be basic training that's now our essentials. It's like the key, the IKEA key and the instructions. It's that simple. Yeah. And then it just takes you through how to do it and the sessions. And in reworking that, we've made modules of things that people can choose, like extra problems. Right now, people can get our essentials, the whole enchilada for how to put yourself back in control of your hoarding nervous system and really live freely, plus a way to change cravings instantly. And we've put it into a kit. And right now, if you go to cognocravings.com, it's C-O-G-N-O, cravings.com, you get the instructions, the IKEA key, the essentials, plus you get to be free from cravings for the rest of your life. And I mean fast, in like 20 minutes. And it's like $100 off. It's more than $100 off. It's like a 47% savings because you're getting this kit. So it's like $199. The whole thing is $199. To be able to, I mean, it's really inexpensive, right? To be able to give yourself the choice point that Bill talked about on his beautiful graph and take your life in the direction that you get to choose from now on. Plus, you get to eliminate all those cravings that are ruining your fitness goals, your health goals, your life goals, your fingernails in some cases. So it's Cogno Cravings with an S.com. And you're going to choose customize your craving kit. It's a whole kit. Like we've done it for you. So you can no longer have a nervous system that hoards things. What do you think about that, Bill?
I love it. And it's nice to be able to take over your life.
Mm-hmm.
Take back your life. You imagine, what would it be like? Ask yourself, what would it be like if I simply didn't feel that way anymore? And I wasn't trying to be strong. I just didn't feel it.
I can tell people what it's like because we're experiencing it more and more every day. It's like you're just kind of at ease for no reason. You are one of those people who actually literally starts to enjoy food because you can taste it. You're not busy wandering around in your problems. You're like, aren't these mashed potatoes amazing? Like, try this. You need to try these. These are amazing. Like, they're buttery and good. Like, you are so present in the moment that you actually start to enjoy life. And I'm telling you, from a person whose life was built around frustration, this is some kind of a miracle. I just came back from vacation, and for the first time in my life, I just looked out the window and saw how magnificent Utah was. I wasn't worried about other issues. My mind wasn't even on work, really. Bill and I have become those people who talk about the cool thing that happened today. What's our miracle? Tell me the next miracle story today. You know, we run a business. So sometimes we're like, okay, there's an issue, but quick, let's get through that so you can tell me about the miracle, right?
Oh, and it is so fun and it's so exciting. You know, as I think we've never really, really worked a day at this. It's just been so fulfilling and enjoyable, you know? Yeah.
And it really does sound Pollyanna, and it isn't. It's work. You got to do the thing. You got to take the 20 minutes and do the thing. But it is so worth it. And then you don't end up with a cupboard full of plastic containers. All right, you guys, that's all we have for today, all the time we have for today. So until next time, be safe and be well. Visit CognoCravings.com. And we will see everybody next week. Thanks, Bill McKenna.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at CognoMovement.com or email us at info@CognoMovement.com. See you again soon.